Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Great being together, isn't it? Wow, what a wonderful time, what a welcome. Me personally, with all of us here today, I just had that real sense that we were being embraced by Jesus. Just those outstretched arms. Father, forgive them. Amazing, isn't it? We've heard of our King. You okay? Sorry, I thought someone said they couldn't hear. We've heard of our King. We've heard of our Shepherd. We've heard of the wonderful miracle of grace that all He actually requires is our weakness. I don't know if you've thought about that. I was reminded and just looked it up as Gillian prayed, and we heard a word, didn't we, coming through from a sister there. And you know, an old friend of mine is Lilius Trotter, and it reminded me of Dad. I remember in a meeting years and years ago planning for a New Life conference, and he just said in a little quiet moment, "Brothers, listen, I've just read this," and this was from Lilius Trotter, "Oh, we are so slow to see that it is only our weakness that He needs." And I've never forgotten it. It like was a penetrating word. She goes on to say, and I've quoted this many times, but just thought it was fitting again this morning, "I am seeing more and more that we begin to learn what it is to walk by faith when we learn to spread out all that is against us." Here it is again, all of our physical weakness perhaps, loss of mental power, spiritual inability in our perception of it perhaps, all that is against us inwardly and outwardly, and we spread them, she goes on to say, as sails to the wind, and expect them to be the vehicles for the power of Christ to rest upon us and to work in and through us. It's so simple and yet so self-evident, but so long in the learning. And dear Gillian prayed, and I think she expressed many of our hearts, "I'm a slow learner." Thank the Lord, He's a patient teacher who comes to us again and again. Mark prayed, "The welcome isn't based on our achievement or our attainment or our CV or our capacity for learning. It's based on Christ." And that lays out the ground level for everyone, whether we're rich or poor, clever or not so clever, in whose estimation, who knows. By the way, you're all fearfully and wonderfully made. You've all got phenomenal capacity, because He made you with great precision and care. How wonderful He is. And with all my heart, I'm responding to Him again this morning. He's here, isn't He? Maybe we could have, oh, look at that. The dream team is on the job. Marvellous. I don't know, for those on Zoom, will they be able to see the slides? I've got a few slides. Brilliant, thank you. It's great to be part of a team, but more wonderful to be part of a family, isn't it?
Yes.
How precious. I loved, I was praying and I opened my eyes and suddenly Helen was Ben. Seamless. And we were getting a little pressed on the bread and the wine. I don't know if anyone noticed, and it was Matt was just cool as you like, and people just were up and people offering theirs to others. I saw that. Just kindness, grace, the community of the believers of God's people. What a precious environment to be in. So if any of the Beacon Collective are on Zoom, forgive me, you might be having a strange sense of deja vu in just a moment for about 10 minutes. And then we'll venture out beyond what I shared with you last week. But I felt it was absolutely relevant for us too. It's a phrase that the Lord gave me some years ago. I was with you with Shirley's group. I'll come to the phrase in a moment. I believe the Lord's refreshed it in my heart right now. And what we've heard already this morning, I think the Lord is speaking to us. Does anyone know what that is on the screen? If you're on Zoom, you're going to have to shout really loud, otherwise we won't hear. Any ideas? Uncut diamond? Marmalade, nice one. A little bit of a Paddington theme. See what you're doing there, Matt. It is in fact fire. It is in fact, it's beautiful, isn't it, by the way? It is in fact a grain of sand. Pretty ordinary, isn't it? A grain of sand. And if your mind, which I hope it does, keeps returning to the scripture, and I say grain of sand, what do you think? Any character? Abraham. Yeah, you remember the Lord, the word of the Lord that came to Abraham right into the heart of utter impossibility and spoke, just spoke in the Old Testament context. Essentially, he was speaking the blessing of Jesus. Said, take a look at the sand. That's what I'm talking about. But it's impossible. Not so with God. As the grains of sand on the seashore. Amazing. So I just gave you a zoom in on a grain of sand, and then you look at a desert place and think of this replicated around God's world. It's phenomenal, isn't it? He knows every grain of sand. And actually, when you enlarge them, they're things of beauty. There's a whole range. They're unique, just like the snowflakes and everything else that you can see under a microscope. Wow, the beauty, the precision that goes unnoticed. Every grain of sand. And this is the phrase. The blessing of Jesus makes a little go a long way. Would you be happy to do a little bit of repeating this? Is that okay? All together now.
The blessing of Jesus makes a little go a long way.
Okay. Now hopefully by the end that will be stuck in your minds and sinking into your hearts. Any idea what this is? Seed. Mustard seed, did you say? If the children were still in, it might be nice to sing, faith as small as a mustard seed can move mountains. I mean, that is a striking message from Jesus, isn't it? Faith as small as a mustard seed can move mountains. Can move mountains. And the potential in the seed, whether that's the mustard seed or any seed, is so small, but it's phenomenal, isn't it? Just go with me and use your imagination. The seed to the tree. The seed to the plant, to the fruit. The seed to whatever it is in your mind right now. So go on.
The blessing of Jesus makes a little go a long way.
This is scaled up a little. I don't know if you can see the scale, 1 millimeter on the side.
It's a babby.
It's a babby. Yeah. We've got a little babby in the room. And we've got a lot of developed children, haven't we, in the room. Mother Teresa started minuscule And in fact, in her humility, she would have always seen herself as just a little person. Started in the world's estimation, maybe not a little person, a great person. But in the sense of how she related to her King of Kings, she would have seen herself as a little person. And towering above us all, whether great or small, whether grand in the world's estimation or not, the cross. And we're reminded again this morning that the scripture says he was crucified, here it is again, in weakness. Did you know that the weakness of God in Christ took out all of the dark, dark, despotic powers of the enemy? The weakness of Jesus took him down. Bless his name. In his vulnerability and weakness on the cross, where actually the enemy thought, I've won. God used humility and amazing grace and the weakness of Christ to confound the strength of all worldly systems and demonic powers. And he has bruised the serpent's head as he promised. Glory to his name. Glory to his name. It's just our weakness he requires. So here's the thing. It's actually his grace and goodness that leads us to repentance. And then we are to stay humble for the rest of our days and into eternity, casting any crowns before him, lost in wonder, love and praise. The glory of Jesus is to be our absolute focus. Go on. Amen. You remember Micah? I said this at Beacon last week. And we always think of Christmas. Don't worry, I'm not trying to upset you or make you anxious about cooking the roast in September. But you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you are little, among the thousands of Judah, you could think, well, Judah, little. Bethlehem, tiny, minuscule. Though you are little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of you. Actually, this is God's plan. This is God's great economy. This is his purpose, to choose the weak, to deal with all the shows of power and strength in this way. It's remarkable. It's so counterintuitive, isn't it? Sometimes we feel incapacitated, thinking we're disqualified for this, that and the other. Maybe we have some great weakness, physical, mental, whatever it may be, and we feel that's somehow going to hinder God's plans and purposes. He actually revealed to Paul, didn't he, so clearly, my strength is made perfect in weakness. That's just mind-blowing. We need reminding of it again and again, and suddenly the weight is off. I come just as I am, with my little life, with my little store. Pour it out. The blessing of Jesus makes a little go a long way. He loves to do it. He loves to break the bread and feed the multitudes. Wonderful, isn't it? Sometimes we're looking for great things. And the Lord's whispering, come on, hand it. your heart, your little heart. Out of it are great issues, but your little heart, my precious child. He's here. He's calling us again. His call is compelling. This world needs the little people to give themselves again into the hands of Jesus and see this again, that the blessing of Jesus makes a little go a long way. And this Christ, in fact, was the seed that fell into the ground. The one. Wow. And it was dark. And look what's happened since. Millions of little people being redeemed. Right now, people are being saved, redeemed. They're hearing the gospel and responding. Right now. They're coming in, the harvest is coming in. You might be thinking, oh, it's tough in the Western world, but in parts of the world, but even, I'm thinking Leon just recently. I hope he wouldn't mind me saying, just a little person. We're all just little people, little lives, who Jesus set his eyes on and counted it worth leaving the glory, the inexpressible glory, to have you. Little one, oh my little ones, how he longs to gather us in. Wonderful. So let's go big for a minute, shall we? Briefly. Earth loves this kind of illustration. Yeah, check us out. Yeah, don't worry, it's coming. You're jumping the gun there. Earth. And we compare ourselves, don't we? I don't know if you do this. The best way to feel big is to compare yourself to, in your mind, who you think is smaller, less able, less capable, etc. And there we are. Earth, yay. Venus, looking good, but not quite as good, not quite as big. Mars, Mercury, ah, poor Pluto. This brings us down to size, doesn't it? Jupiter. Saturn, Uranus, Neptune, suddenly Earth's looking like a marble. You have to feel for Pluto now, really shrinking it down. Let's keep it going. Look at Earth now. It's just to illustrate the point that actually sometimes we do this comparing thing. But it's a false environment. We just need to keep our eyes fixed on the sun, not that sun, the S-O-N sun, and find that everything is in its right perspective. All the glory to Jesus. And what a welcome. We've been reveling in the welcome. We've heard that even the weakest can come to the table with the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, and sit there and feast on his finest dainties in one of the old songs. Glory to our Shepherd King. It's getting bigger. I don't know if you've noticed. Go on. I find these things quite overwhelming. I mean, I've talked about this before and I'm still moved. The blessing of Jesus. Do you know in Ephesians chapter 1 it says of God's people that we are blessed with every spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus? Are you feeling blessed this morning? It's all right. If you're not, it's okay. You can be honest. Because it's not about whether you're feeling it or not so much. You are. If you're his, you are. That's where you live. You're in Christ. And the Word of God says, whatever we feel about it, the Word of God says, if you're in Christ, you are blessed with every spiritual blessing in Christ. Blessed. And the blessing of Jesus makes a little go a long way. Are we getting it? We've already mentioned, haven't we? And in a sense, we've already partaken of the wonder of this miracle. You remember the story, you can read it at your leisure. But what did you say? At your leisure, but not too slow? Actually, when you're reading, you can go slow. Maybe in a wedding, people need to, you know, chop, chop, yeah. You remember this story, don't you? We're just going to briefly look at two little questions. One little lad and two little fish and five little barley loaves. Don't you love Jesus' questions? Sometimes they're absolutely devastating to our pride and our ability and our logistical skill at keeping it all together and working it out and having a plan. Listen to this, cut through. You get the scene, don't you? Everyone's there. 5,000 plus, plus, plus. It's all getting a bit heated. You can imagine the lads. Okay. This has escalated slightly beyond what I envisaged for today. Jesus senses this and goes right to the heart of it with this. Where shall we buy bread? That's provocative. Jesus says to his disciples, where shall we buy bread? There's no 7-Eleven nearby. Where shall we buy bread that these may eat? So, can you imagine it? just picture it. It would not. And you need a card for Costco. And they didn't have that. They would have been dumbfounded. They would have been perturbed. You can imagine it. Right, lads, this is a classic moment for thinking on our feet. It's all led up to this. This is it. What are we going to do? Andrew. No, let's think about Philip first. I love Philip. Pragmatist. 8 months' wages. Done the maths. Nice one. 8 months' wages wouldn't be enough for this lot. Just to have a little. Are you feeling the dramatic tension here? Jesus says, you give them something to eat. Yeah, I mean, seriously, this is funny, really. It's funny. Philip is like 8 months' wages wouldn't be enough for them to have a little. But he's also probably thinking, these people, if they have a little, they're not going to be happy anyway. So this is like, we're ruling this out. And Jesus, in response, says, go on then. Okay, we can't buy it. Fair point, Philip. Done the maths. We can't buy it. You give them something to eat. And then it develops. Andrew comes in. You've got to give them credit, haven't you? These disciples are really trying their best. Andrew says, oh, and this is the only time this little lad gets mentioned. John. The other disciples don't mention him. Andrew said, there's a little lad here who... Go on, Andrew. I don't know what he was thinking at this point. There's a little lad here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 small... two small fish. I was thinking, Mum, do you remember at the chippy the other day? And it was large fish and small fish. Small fish, actually, for a small family is enough. The small fish are actually quite big in marigolds. But this is ridiculous. 5,000 plus. There's a little boy here. I don't know how we're going to rip it from his hands. What about this? Glory to his name. Glory to his name. Jesus is working his wonderful works in all the questions that he asks us, in the circumstances that we find ourselves. And Andrew rightly says, once he's drawn their attention to the loaves and the fish, but what are they? Amen, and? And we often say this, don't we? We've just heard the anguish and the cry of people's hearts with all the multitudes that we've seen on our screens. You might well say of yourself, what's this? The need. The hunger. And Jesus comes to us again this morning. You give them something to eat. What do we do with that? What's this among so many? Bless this little lad. Bless this little lad. Jesus takes this little lad's packed lunch. And even as an adult, I'm quite precious about my packed lunch. I'll be honest with you. Busy day's work. If I've made the sandwich, if I've got that far before the event, you know, it's like quite precious to me. I do a bit of ham and salad and then mayo and then a little bit of black pepper. Takes it to the next level. I need it to get me through the afternoon of management training. And that's me as a grown-up. A little boy, the heat of the day, his mum's probably made him this packed lunch. It'll be precious to him in his own way. And we don't get much on this, but he yields it up. His little, he gives it. I like to think that he's got his eyes on Jesus and he's just thinking, it's all going to be okay. I don't know what's going to happen, but I'm throwing my lot in. What do you think? I'm speculating slightly there. The little lad, willing to share what was precious to him. What do you think? Can I just ask that to myself this morning? In the light of being in the presence of Jesus, are we willing to share this little, which is precious to us? Maybe the Lord's coming to us fresh this morning, this day, in the light of the need. Whatever the need is, whatever you face. And saying, listen, my precious child, my blessing makes your little, which is mine anyway, but let's not go there, go a long way. But here's the thing, you need to give it. I need to give it. Will we? I've got one more story before we close, but let's just close our eyes now and answer that question. We're with the Lord now. He's here in front of us and he's saying, you know what? You're blessed with every spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus. But I'm coming to you again this morning and asking you, my precious child, give me your little life again. So they can be fed. Your neighbour. Those parents in the school, the teachers, the homeless. You know who they are, don't you? I'm thinking of dear Robin and Fiona. Next to us, I'm thinking of my boss whose dad is currently dying. I've just messaged her this morning, said I'm praying for you. Who are those people that need feeding? Well, somehow in the wonderful economy of Jesus, he's here saying, go on, again, give me your little life so they can be fed. Amen. He sees the response. And guess what? Just in case you're feeling a bit nervous, the blessing of Jesus makes a little go a long way. We've been in the new. We're going to go back to the old in a new way. And we're going to finish. Anyone got any ideas where we're headed? A little flour, a little oil, and the widow of Zarephath. I've read that and reread it and read it again. It's on a different level. The context is Ahab. If you know your Bibles, you'll know Ahab was a nasty piece of work. My mouth's drying up, but never mind. It's all good. Ahab, Jezebel. Now there's a couple. Ahab, it said, and there was a pretty ropey kind of run-up, but Ahab did more evil in the sight of the Lord than all those previous. I mean, this is a whole different level of outworked evil in the human sphere. The context was grim. Elijah, God's man, you'll know 1 Kings 17, you can again read it at your leisure. He proclaims a drought. He has a face-off, if you like, with Ahab. Wow, that would have been scary, humanly speaking. That's the context. The Lord speaks to him and says, hot foot it to the brook Cherith. Do you remember the story? I'll provide for you there. Guess how God provides for Elijah. He commands unclean birds. Matt, bless you. A cup of water in his name. It's a little thing. You can have some of this. He's come prepared. So there's a drought. God's man is by the stream, which isn't in full flow, obviously. Ravens, unclean birds, have been commanded by holy God to bring food to the Jewish prophet. And Elijah absolutely obeys the word of the Lord. It's the little things. He just does what the Lord says, though it must have cut through his thinking left, right and centre. And then because of the word of the Lord that's come through Elijah, the brook begins to dry up. Whew. Don't know if you've ever been there. God's told you to go somewhere. And there's provision, miraculous provision. And then that begins to dry up. What do you do with that? That's a good option. And the word of the Lord comes to Elijah again. Do you see how this walk of faith is not getting it all boxed off in 1982? Sorted. That'll take me from there to glory. Grit my teeth and hang on in. This is dynamic. This is set up that it has to be relational. We have to keep in close fellowship, don't we? The word of the Lord comes, and this time he's gone from the brook and the ravens. The Lord tells him to go to Gentile territory. This is getting better. If the ravens weren't bad enough, go to Zarephath. And guess what? I've commanded a Gentile widow to provide for you. The ways of God are mind-blowingly wonderful and so challenging. And that's the context as we come to our clothes. We have this. Do you remember? Elijah goes in, read it at home, 1 Kings 17. Elijah goes into the town and sees a widow. It's interesting because God said, I've commanded the widow. Seems like the widow isn't fully aware of that. She's gathering sticks. Devastatingly, to use up the very last that she has for her and her boy, and then they're resigned to die. It's their last supper, if you will. She hasn't even got firewood in her place. She's out scrabbling around for some sticks. I mean, this is a little person, my friends. Bless God. A little flour, a little oil, a little cake. That's what we're dealing with. And if you read the story, it's just amazing. Absolutely amazing. It should bring us to our knees in wonder and worship again and say, Lord, yes, my little store here, have it. Help yourself. The widow says to Elijah, he first says, can I have a little drink? A little drink. Matt, that would have been so precious. Seriously. Do you remember that one? Are you half full, half empty? Just grateful to have a glass. A little water. And then we have this interchange, which is just stunning. She explains what's happening. And Elijah says, that's fine, you go and do as you've planned to do. Just before you do. Just before you do. You thought the boy in John 6 was quite out there. Just before you do, make me a little cake first. Make me a little cake first. And then go ahead. And then thankfully, I was thinking, whew. I mean, I've read this many, many times, but as I read it, it was like I was right there. Thankfully, the prophet then brings the promise of God, but still the widow who's a Gentile has to believe God's word. It hasn't happened yet. The prophet says, go make a little cake first and then sort yourselves out. You know what? God is going to cause your little flour and your little oil to just miraculously keep appearing day by day. That's really good, isn't it? Because you imagine in a drought situation, you imagine what Zarephath was like. If the Lord just kind of downloaded the whole lot for the next, however, what was it, 2 years? I know the drought was 3, but I'm not quite sure of the timing. But imagine if that just landed and she's like, whoa. The people in Zarephath probably would have misused that widow. God, even in his manner of provision, was taking care of this precious woman and his man and this boy who died shortly after. You thought, oh, happy days, miraculous provision. Then the boy dies and then they're exercised again and the Lord raises him. This is all before we've had the big showdown between the prophets of Baal and the fire on the altar. These scriptures are phenomenal. So, a little flour, a little oil, a little cake. We're going to finish. The blessing of Jesus makes a little go a long way. It's time to finish. Our little friend is my timer this morning. The little ones. How precious. The little ones. I hope we've had our perspective perhaps adjusted slightly in a little way. We must not despise the day of the little things, must we? Bless the Lord. Shall we pray?